PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the only off-course podcast. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, and with me this week is longtime THPer and friend. His name is Taylor Ryan. You may know him on the forum as Texas Hacker 34. The man of two granddaddies, the only man of two granddaddies. We met many years ago. He's a much younger guy then. Went out to dinner and made my wife feel old, which I thought was hilarious. Taylor, what's up, man? Welcome.
Dan, thanks for having me, man. I'm super excited to be here. Obviously, a long, as they say, long time listener, first time caller. So looking forward to joining you today. I'm honored that you invited me.
Well, I got you in before episode 100, so it's got to be worth something there, right?
That's very true. I appreciate being here, man.
Do you remember PGA National?
Bits and pieces of it, for sure. Okay. Yeah, I mean, dude, it was a blast. I mean, that was my first, like, real trip. So I guess THP trip. I'd done some other, like, local events and, like, some things that I could drive to, but that was the first one where I, like, hopped on a plane knowing really no one. There were a couple guys there that I had met, but by and large I didn't really know anyone. But you know, it was an opportunity to go play somewhere that I wouldn't get to play otherwise. Obviously, as you said, I was definitely a bit younger back then, so most of my friends didn't have the budget to go do a golf weekend. So it was a little nerve-wracking, but it was awesome, and I had an absolute blast out there at PGA National.
So do you remember Rocco's Tacos? I know you do, because we talked about this a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, we talk. I mean, that, dude, it's like something that you and I bring up all the time. I mean, me, you, B-Mick, his, I guess, girlfriend, wife, whatever, my old girlfriend, and you and your wife just enjoying some tacos.
And our buddy T Pluff was there,
too. Oh, yeah. Pluff was there, too. I forgot, man.
I think my wife, Laura, and I found the four youngest folks at that event and took them all out to Rocco's Tacos. And she just looked over and she goes, how old are these people?
I mean, I don't remember what, do you remember what year that was?
No, it was, I would say probably 2014, if I had to guess.
Okay.
Maybe. No, it had to have been like right around 2014. I don't think we had Cal at the time.
So it was after the granddaddy, the first granddaddy?
I don't know. You're asking me heavy questions here.
Yeah. I was in my early 20s for sure.
You were young for sure. Yeah. And a lot of things have changed. You've been in a couple granddaddies. You've been in and out of golf, and that's something I definitely want to talk about.
Yeah.
But the one thing is true, you've maintained your THP status. You've always, I would say, from where's my home on the internet to talk golf, it's always been THP.
Yeah, for sure.
What is THP to you? What is special about that place, and why is it always a return if ever a leave?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a lot of things, but first and foremost, I've just met a ton of really awesome people. Obviously, like, as you know, even when I did take my hiatus from golf and from the forum, like, you and I still stayed in touch. We played video games. We texted back and forth, you trying to bribe me to come back and play golf again. But yeah, I mean, between all the people that I've met that I still talk to on a daily basis, both on the forum and off of it, I mean, it's I have real true friends there, people that I look forward to talking to, people that I look forward to seeing. And so, I mean, that's to me the biggest reason why I keep coming back. And then obviously all the awesome things that happen. It's hard not to get drawn back in when you see year after year how much Josh and Morgan continue to just push the envelope and put together incredible events like the Granddaddy and all the other ones that they have. I mean, sometimes it's hard to keep track even when you're on every day, all the things that are happening. So I think those are a couple of the biggest reasons why, you know, I'm back and here to stay for sure. So
what was it like? I don't know the number of years. All I know is I tormented you probably on a monthly basis. Hey, golf's a thing that, you know, you got to do. Sure. You also went through a really big transition physically. You went, you used to eat really well and decided to clean it up, hit the gym a bunch. You're tormenting me back. Every time I torment you about golfing, you torment me about going to the gym, and clearly only one person was successful in that endeavor, which is too bad. But what was that like, man? What was it like to just drop golf?
It was really strange. So just a little bit of context. I moved, I got out of a rough relationship, moved back to Dallas, and thought I'd kind of just pick up where I left off with my friends from like high school and stuff. And you know, you learn that when you take that long of a break, people kind of move on, they make new friends and things. And so I just really felt almost out of place, in a sense. So I didn't really feel like I had people to hang out with necessarily, or I did have people to hang out with, but not necessarily people who played golf. So golf just kind of went by the wayside. I picked up new hobbies. Like you said, I got really into fitness and still am. Golf just didn't become a priority. I left my clubs at my parents' house. I played, like, over the 3.5 years I lived in Dallas, I probably played golf less than 10 times, and just really checked out of it. So it was a weird time. And moving back to KC, it's really just changed my perspective. Like I said, these past two years, I played golf a ton. And it really sort of reignited my passion. And a lot of that's just due to being around people who like it, like to talk about it, and like to play it. So
you got to tell me, being that you're familiar with golf in Texas and KC at this point, what's your preference? Where would you choose to play if you had to pick one of the two, and why?
Yeah, that's a great question.
It is Bent in Kansas City and it's Bermuda in Texas. Is that right?
Yeah, for the most part, for sure. Okay. Yeah. I think KC, but not necessarily even for the grass. It's more for the seasons. Like, I love fall golf in the Midwest when all the trees are changing colors, and I don't love the leaves on the ground. Obviously, it makes it a little harder to find your golf ball, but we really get the four seasons here. A little bit less mild summer, definitely not as humid. And so it's, I think overall the climate's a little more enjoyable for the most part. Obviously in December, January, February, it's a little bit of a crapshoot with golf here, but I definitely think I prefer the golf in KC, and I can't say for sure if that's due to the courses or more so due to the company that I keep here. And just having like 8 or 10 guys that are playing every weekend and we always have a game going. So that certainly adds to it as well.
So you've been bugging me to go on a golf trip, and I fully support the idea of it, minus the whole have a 5-year-old at home thing.
True.
So if you could pick one place to go right now, next weekend.
Yeah.
Let me scratch that, because that eliminates too much.
Okay.
In the perfect weather season for wherever you want to go, what's it going to be and why?
Yeah. So if like budget isn't in the equation, and I'm not sure if you told me in this theoretical situation, if budget is a part of it. So I'll say if budget,
medium
budget, probably the Carolinas, maybe like Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, something like that. I think Branson's an easy sort of cop out. Just there are some courses there like Payne's Valley that I haven't gotten to play. I played Buffalo Ridge a bunch, so that would be another good one. But I think in a place that I haven't really experienced golf would be in the Carolinas for sure. It seems like an awesome place to play golf. One time. So I went with some buddies and our wives last year, right before COVID started. We went to South Carolina, we stayed right outside of Charleston and played a couple rounds at a place called Wild Dunes, which was fun. I know
the course, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So we played at the we played out at Wild Dunes. We stayed at a house like right next to it. So that's the only experience I've had there. But I know there's a lot of amazing courses there that I'd love to get out there and experience it more for sure.
How many years ago was that?
Like right before COVID. So it would have been 2019.
Okay.
Like,
so yeah, I know that region. Okay. I haven't played a ton of golf there. Most of the golf I played down in the Carolinas is more like Myrtle-esque, mm-hmm. A little bit down in Savannah, like those kind of areas for some reason, even though my dad has a, property down in, on Mount Pleasant, which is just north of Charleston, somehow it's kind of evaded me getting down there and playing a bunch of golf. We might have just picked the spot. Good price on lodging down there too, buddy.
Yeah, no kidding. Let's make it happen. Absolutely, I'm in. You know, just tell me when and where. I'm there.
Yeah. So let's get back on the discussion about exercise, because you did go through a significant transformation, not just visually, but like physically, your ability has obviously changed. Do you think it was easier for you to not play golf during the majority of it, or would you say it made no real difference?
Yeah, I think it was easier from the standpoint that it just allowed me, right, wrong, or indifferent, to just be focused on one thing. So it sort of consumed me for a while, and maybe almost an unhealthy way, that I just became obsessed with my diet and with fitness, to the point that it probably was a bit unhealthy. I mean, that was all I thought about, you know, tracking every single thing I ate, making sure I was going to the gym at least 6 days a week. I've certainly found a healthier balance, now, but I think then it was like, I have this I have a bit of a obsessive personality where when I go into something, I go into it like full bore. There's no like, you know, you don't go into anything halfway. So when I commit to something, it's like a true commitment. And that was something for me that I think really opened my eyes to the point that I started to realize that, hey, you maybe need to take a step back and relax a little bit, enjoy life too while you're young. So it's been a balance, but yeah, I think to answer your question, it would have been an unnecessary distraction in a sense, to what I was trying to accomplish. So I think that was another reason that it was a bit easier to kind of put it by the wayside at that time.
So one of the things I always think about as it relates to exercise and golf is the ability to recover. And, you know, I don't work out a ton. When I do, I try and, you know, commit to it, but then you're like, oh, I gotta tee time tomorrow. I don't want to max out the muscles today and be sore, sure. You know, whatever. There's about a million excuses. Would that, with your current state, would you ever really go into it thinking that way? Would you not push like screw legs to tomorrow? I got a big match or something like that.
No, it's funny you asked that. I think things have changed a little bit. A couple of the guys I play golf with have kids now. So we hit the really early Saturday, Sunday tee times. But before, when I first moved back, we were teeing off more later in the afternoon, and I would kind of do the Brooks Koepka thing. I'd go to the gym in the morning before golf to get it in. Now I go afterwards. If we play on like a Saturday, I'll go afterwards, but it's not something I think about at all. I think the more you work out, the less sore you become just overall, like at baseline. I don't really get sore too often anymore. I mean, I feel fatigued, obviously, but nothing to the extent that I'm like, oh, it's going to hinder my ability to swing a golf club. But I'm also, you know, I'm not a scratch golfer by any means either. So there may be a little bit of something there. But I also, and I ride in a cart too. So like, you know, the physical exercise is not so daunting, which helps as well, I think.
Okay. What would you say to a guy who is out there debating getting into exercising? And I have two questions, really. Number one, how do you think that would impact their game in a positive way? And number two, what would you encourage them to focus on if their main goal is getting healthy and playing golf?
Yeah. So I think the way it helps you in a positive is there are numerous benefits as far as I'm concerned. I think number one, I just feel better. I think there's probably some science behind it. Somebody could tell me, but I think there is a real like positive mental benefit that I get out of exercise. It's something I look forward to, which I know a lot of people say, you know, how do you do that? But I get up at 5 a.m. every day. I'm in there and it's the thing I look most forward to out of my day most days. So I think that mental benefit is great. And then obviously, you know, it just helps you, you start to become more flexible. You start to just become more powerful in a sense. You know, it may help you pick up some club head speed, things like that, that can obviously benefit your game. And I think if you do it in the right way, it helps decrease the chances of injury. It helps make you more flexible, which again would help prevent injury. And then as far as like how to get started, I mean, honestly, Google is a great resource, I think. You know, something like Reddit too. I know there are subreddits dedicated to all kinds of different fitness, whether you want to get into, you know, powerlifting type stuff like squats and deadlifts and bench press, or if you want to just become more flexible, you want to do it at home, body weight exercises. I know there are communities for that everywhere. So it really, you can run the gamut depending on how involved you want to be, what sort of equipment you have at your disposal. You know, and I just think that any kind of movement is great movement, even if you're just getting up and going for a walk. So I think there's a lot you can do there.
So he's saying P90X and a whole lot of protein.
Hey, I did P90X, man. It was when I was in college, we did it in our garage, me and two buddies. After class, we would go and we'd do P90X in the garage. So again, there's something for everybody. I don't know about the lot of protein part. I certainly eat a lot, but that's definitely not a requirement.
That's awesome. Well, let's talk about the granddaddy, man, because you've been in two of them. It sounds like you will be in not just rare company, but only company, because they're pretty sure it's a one and done type of thing at this point moving forward. You've had, what was the gap between the two? Was it?
So the first one, 2013, the original one was 2013, the first one ever. And then the second time I went back was 2015. So really just like a year in between, one granddaddy between my two visits.
Okay. And now it, like you said, it's been going on since 2013. It has evolved every single year. We're currently in the middle of a granddaddy right now. As we record, it'll be done by the time this goes live, but can you tell me just from your 2 years combined, what did you notice a significant difference between the experiences?
Yeah. So I think there were a few. First of all, 2013 was the first one, right? So like no one knew what to expect. It's funny if you go through, and I don't expect anyone will, but when somebody started a thread about reliving past memories, and it really took me down a trip down memory lane. I went through the entire 2013 and 2015 live updates. And it was just so funny reading the 2013 for a lot of reasons. One, the people who were involved. Two, the fact that people were like, hey, what kind of update should we expect? Like, are you guys going to be posting scores in here? What are you guys doing? Because there was so much unknown going into the first one. It was just supposed to be the event of all events, but we didn't know what to expect.
I remember the signups for that, and that a lot of people kind of didn't know what to think. And there was a big event at the time that was kind of championing the main experiences. Like, I don't want to miss out on that, so I'm not going to do this kind of thing. And then when everyone went and saw, like, holy crap, this is a premier golf event for any amateur golfer playing in a place they're not supposed to play, using clubs that they're not supposed to own, you know, pre-release stuff, whatever. The following year, I bet it definitely had a different experience from at least a sign-up perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think probably an engagement perspective too, right? Because I think, you know, people probably didn't spend as much time in the live threads because they didn't know what they were missing. And I think once the recap started coming up and they started seeing pictures of the hideaway and everything, that I think people's heads really turned. And you have to remember, right, back then, all that momentum that Callaway was building with Harry and hashtag and all those guys, that Callaway was like this media force, right, where people were drawn to everything they were doing. And so I think that that really helped ramp up that engagement too, because interest was so high in Callaway. That you put those two things together and it was like a can't beat thing. So I think that's honestly probably one of the biggest differences I noticed between 2013 and 2015. And then things just ran a lot smoother in 2015, right? 2013 was the first attempt. So there were some, you know, hiccups. The course was incredible both times, obviously, but I think the experience itself just flowed a bit better in 2015. The results weren't any different, unfortunately, for the team, but I feel super blessed to have been involved in two of them, and almost, you know, I can sense the, you know, people are super jealous and I totally get it. And sometimes I feel like I didn't even deserve it, but I was super fortunate to be involved in two of them, and it's something obviously I'll never forget.
So one of the things that happened after my year there, they're at ECPC, and we watched them go through all their fittings, and my year was actually O-Works had not even come to retail yet. No one even knew about it. It was the original micro hinge.
Okay.
And so we had two models. I remember the two ball and a blade version. And I ended up in the blade version, but all of our fittings were done outside on the putting green. Now they have this insane putting studio, you know, with Luke in there encouraging mallets up until this year, which is pretty wild.
Crazy.
And then you just see like these little subtle changes that have been incredibly good for the event and the engagement for the forum. I mean, I think we're in, we still got a full day of golf and there's over 7,000 posts talking about it on THP right now in the Granddaddy thread.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
What I should have done before we talked was see how many pages were in the 2013 thread. Because I would be surprised if it was more than 100. I mean, that's just how much it's grown. And we're probably at 300-ish pages right now. So, I mean, it's grown like crazy. And some of the other like smaller touches that I've noticed that have happened since my time, you know, things like dinner at Al's house, which has become just such a great tradition. We didn't have that back then. Ours were dinners just out, and they were great. Don't get me wrong. They're incredible dinners. But to me, that's just something that's super special. Getting the chance to sit down with somebody who is a member and has been so gracious to open their home to the group is awesome. I just think they continue to build on it every year. And you and I were talking when we saw the Yetis, right? Like, it seems like they're one-upping, you know, every year they come up with a newer, cooler, gift, more swag. I mean, I don't know how they're going to top it next year, but I know they will. Jason and team are doing a stand-up job, and it just, they keep pushing the envelope every year, man.
Yeah, I might fight someone for that Yeti. I know okay. Where X-Thor lives, so I'm gonna go get
mine. Exactly right.
Yeah. So did you guys do the vodka or blueberry infused vodka lemonades?
Yeah. So I don't think my first year we did, if I remember correctly, but for sure in 2015, I have pictures in my phone and pictures on my computer right now of me holding one. So I know we did for sure in 2015. I don't think they were a thing in 2013. The hospitality was the same in terms of, like, you never have to wait on anything and they always know somehow what you need. But I think I don't think the blueberry infused vodkas were a thing in 2013, if I remember correctly.
Okay. Is there a better drink on course than what you experienced with that?
No, absolutely not. And I'll challenge anyone who says anything about raspberries or strawberries or cranberries. The thread was going off today on fruit infused beverages, and blueberry is king. There is no question about it.
You know, it's funny, man. It's been, I would say, almost half a decade for me since I was there, and mm-hmm. I still have a vivid memory of just, I feel like this, everyone gets theirs at the right time, like as soon as they need it.
Yeah.
And I just went through an unbelievably tense 18 holes with Luke and Velardo, and I was having to recover and play against a couple other guys, and I was just, I'm not mentally ready for this. I'm not okay right now. Like, it's been a roller coaster already, and we're not even partway through this event, and someone handed me one and I just started drinking them. Like, this is everything I needed at this very moment. I don't know if it's something in the water out there in Palm Desert or what, but holy cow.
Yeah. I had a very similar story. Funny enough, in 2015, I played, we did three nines then. So 2013, we just did the two nines. 2015, we did three nines on the first day. And I play in the first two nines were with the same people. And then we switched it up for the third nine. And I went through, and we could talk about Finley if you want, but I went through, you know, 18 more holes with Finley. I think I got half a point that day. So better than 2013. Split one and lost one. And then I was feeling a little bit dejected, right? Cause I looked at that as my redemption arc, was 2015. So I was feeling a bit dejected. And then I had to go play nine more against Hashtag and Harry. You know, Harry obviously being the head honcho at the time. And then Hashtag, who everyone knows. And I think Chad actually was the one who handed me one before we teed off for that third nine. And I was like, God, I don't think you know how much I need this right now. So I totally agree with you. I think there is something in the water for sure.
So when you do play, are you a fan of drinking? Are you opposed to it? Are you indifferent on it? What's your play?
Yeah, I think indifferent is probably the right word. I don't typically, especially because, like I said, we play pretty early most days. Like, we're teeing off at 7 or 8 in the morning. So most times I don't participate in, but if the mood is right, I will for sure. I had some buddies go. My dad has a place near Branson. We went out there about a month and a half ago when we played golf, and that was in the afternoon, and we had plenty of beverages. So I will participate if the time is right, but it's not something that I like actively seek out by any means.
So not a bloody guy, not a transfusion guy.
Yeah, I'll have a transfusion from time to time, but not a bloody guy. I don't like tomato juice. I don't like spicy stuff. So it's Bloody Mary's not for me. Maybe an orange juice and vodka or something. But again, if the time's right, maybe if I'm at some sort of event or something, I will, but not in a typical Saturday or Sunday round for me.
Gotcha. I'm usually the same way. I'm more of like a post round drink guy.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you said the mood strikes or we got some guys in for the weekend, you know.
Yeah.
If it's going to be a party, it may as well be a party, I guess, is my perspective.
For sure.
If it's an every weekend or every day kind of thing, I don't need it to lead off. I know some guys who, I swear to you, get better every beer they pound, and I don't understand it because I go the other way.
Same.
100%.
Yeah, same for sure. Yeah. I'm usually a post round, like settle up the wagers for the day type beverage versus during the round for sure.
Okay. How is your golf game right now, Taylor?
You know, it's all right. I think I finished the year right around a 12-3, something like that, which is, I think, right around where I've been for a while now. I haven't really declined or gotten better, but that's really more in large part due to the fact that all I never practice. I just play. I think if I invested the time, and I've actually, funny enough that you bring this up, have been considering taking that next step. I've never had a lesson, been considering doing that. I don't know how my only sort of, the only reason I sort of am a little bit nervous about that, like I told you earlier, this kind of obsessive personality, I don't want it to overtake my life and become the only thing I think about. But I definitely think that something like, you know, finding a coach that would work with my current swing and just try to refine certain things, at least get it to a little more playable, would be great. But I enjoy playing, and most of the guys I play with are right around the same. We don't use pops or anything. We play straight up match play every weekend and enjoy it. So I guess maybe I don't have a ton of incentive to get better. Maybe if I get into an event next year, that'll be the driver. But for now, I'm just enjoying it, having a lot of fun, just living life.
We got to get to that single digit lifestyle. That's what we need.
Yeah. I mean, it's doable. I think, you know, some changes with the swing, some more focus on putting and chipping. I think it's possible. Maybe it'll be my 2022 goal.
Do you have anything fun or different in the bag? Anything new?
I just ordered a Callaway UW. Shout out J-Man for basically convincing me to get it. His review was incredible. He just kept singing the praises. He told me it's the safest club in his bag. So that's a ringing endorsement from someone who, as you know, has a rotating bag. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think if you don't know, people who are listening, I feel like, right, wrong, or indifferent, I owe a lot to Callaway for what they've done. So Callaway will always get the first shot in my bag. And since 2013 has been pretty much the only clubs that I've ever seen my bag. And I don't anticipate that changing anytime soon. So I will be super interested in the stuff that they're, obviously it'll be over, like you said, by the time this goes live, but this super interested in the stuff that they'll be able to talk about when they can. And I'm sure some of it will find its way into my bag for sure.
Well, we know sort of what's coming. They're obviously new drivers and fairways. And we know the line it's coming to, that more speed driven lineup.
Yep.
We know there's putters in play that are significantly different from a blade style perspective based on what we've seen on tour, as well as a couple of guys giving us a little grief on social media, which is great.
Yes.
But there was also a new ball, it sounds like. And it's kind of like one of those things, like you can't help but get excited when a company releases something like that, especially like you said, with the momentum that a company like Callaway has. That's got to be exciting for you as a self-proclaimed Callaway homer.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm pumped. So Triple Track LS has been my ball of choice this year, pretty much since it came out. I was playing the X Triple Track before that, and before Triple Track existed, just the Chrome Soft. So I've gone through a lot of different iterations. Excited to see how they're going to improve on it. Hopefully it will be offered in Triple Track. I'm sure it will, because I don't know that I can play another ball that doesn't have those three lines on it. But yeah, I mean, totally, dude. I cannot wait to see what's coming. You know, Josh has me excited about the soft goods too. He talked a lot about the changes they're trying to make in that regard. So I think it's a good time to be a fan of Callaway for sure.
We got to talk a bit about soft goods, because you are, and I'm going straight to apparel on this one. You are a self-proclaimed rollback lover. Is that correct?
Yeah. That is very correct and accurate. Yes.
So I have been unbelievably fond of certain brands, and I will lean on a couple of them right now, like Travis Matthew, who has heavy ties to Callaway. Mm-hmm. Or I'll give you straight down, I'm in love with them. A lot of the cloud spun stuff from Puma. Yep. What is so unique for you for Roback, and why is it like the apparel company you seem to be leaning on?
Yeah, so it's funny how that all started. So for those of you who aren't familiar with Roback, they're not a huge company, so there may be people out there who are listening that aren't. They sell all kinds of apparel. It's mostly focused on like polos, quarter zips. They have hoodies, vests, some hats. But I think it's funny enough, it was like a targeted Instagram ad of a Roback polo that's called the Don't Mess. And it is like embossed in little Texas, the state of Texas sort of outlines all around it. And then what Roback does is on all their shirts, they have like a flag of sorts on the back of it. It's usually a flag that like sort of complements the colors of the shirt. And for this one, it's the Texas flag. So I was just immediately drawn to it. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to order that, try it out. I've never tried any of their stuff, willing to give it a shot. And I just fell in love with the quality, the fit, the comfort. And the rest is kind of history. I've been slowly sort of phasing out of some of the other stuff I'd been wearing and replacing it. I don't even know how many. I was trying to look back and see if I could see. I'm up to quite a number of their polos, a few quarter zips. I just got a vest in from the Black Friday sale, so excited about that. But I'm just sort of right now all in. I just love the fit and the comfort, and I love the style and sort of the branding that they put on their shirts. A lot of fun stuff, a lot of bright colors, stuff that sort of, I guess, calls to me as a younger golfer, I guess.
Yeah, I think Instagram or Facebook, if you're on either of those and you talk at golf or research golf at all, I think you're probably going to get hit with a rollback.
For sure. On there. Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah,
that's how I feel about a couple brands. I mean, the shirt sizing from, I think, Matt Gray and Straight Down, very, very fond of those. Straight Down's actually a little bit more baggy than I'm used to, but I like the soft profile and the super high collars that they have. It's very elegant, if you will, and I don't mind having mermaids or dogs on surfboards on my shirt. So, but the outerwear, I can't get enough of Travis, man. We've seen it a bit from the Granddaddy guys this week. Between the hats and the outerwear, I wear the cold shoulder vest like every day to take my kid to the bus stop. It's, you know, freezing here and I'm still doing it because I love it so much. Are you a Trav guy at all, Quater?
Not really. I have one of their polos, but I'll be honest, man, that little quarter zip or full zip kind of hoodie thing that the guys had on, if you're listening after the fact, it was on Wednesday's round, looked sharp, man. Like, yeah, that may find its way into my closet. I'm a big proponent of the golf hoodie for sure. So that one may find its way into my closet. I think it would be a perfect kind of like Midwest fall into early winter layering piece for sure. So I think that one might find its way into my closet.
You're also a bit of a high visor guy, aren't you?
Yeah. High crown is the only way to go. As far as I'm concerned, I still have a lot of hair, very thick hair. Until it goes away, I don't mind showing it off. So man, those are the only hats I wear, mostly Callaway in that regard. Actually, they have the high crown thing's kind of interesting, because I think different companies have different sort of profiles and how high the hat actually goes, how wide it is. And to me, it has to fit this very specific frame. So I don't order blind ever when it comes to hats, because I'm always a little bit nervous that it won't fit right. So it's almost always Callaway. And then I do have two Hideaway high crowns. I actually found one on eBay about 3 months ago that was unused, that I snatched up because my first one was getting a little tired. But yeah, high crown all the way for me.
What about some of the other faux pas, I suppose you could say, right now for golf? Are you a fan of the jogger?
I actually don't. It's funny you say that. I don't own any golf joggers. I own a lot of joggers, period. I wear a lot of like Lululemon joggers to the gym mostly, and just like out and about with my wife running errands and things. But I don't yet own a pair of golf joggers. I'm not opposed, but don't yet own a pair. I guess the companies that I've typically leaned on for pants in the golf realm, I just haven't run across any that either were readily available or struck my fancy. So
yeah, I think you have to lean more on that Euro style brand, like a Grayson or you know, someone. Mm-hmm. JL Lindbergh's got a few of those kind of guys where, you know, they're going pretty heavy on that over there right now, and it's not quite taken hold here yet. I have to say.
Yeah, and I think the other thing about those more Euro cut things is they're a little tighter on the legs, which don't I'm not in like tremendous shape by any means. I don't have the biggest legs in the world, but the more Euro cut pants don't fit me all that well. I need something with a little more room in the thigh, in the calf area, than those pants typically provide. So joggers just may not be it for me when it comes to golf pants.
Okay. What about on tour? Do you think there should be a limit there? Do you think they should be in shorts? What's your thought?
Yes, they should be in shorts. I know that you have a little bit of a different opinion there, and happy to be respectful of other opinions. But to me, it's like what those guys go through walking all those rounds, especially in the summertime at some of the places that they play. Like, I can't imagine. And I know you're going to say they got, you know, the apparel these days, it's very loose. It's very, you know, breathable. But to me, it's like, let the guys wear shorts. But that's me. That's where I stand. And I think you'd be hard pressed to move me out of that camp.
Wow. This is a very aggressive opinion coming from my guy Taylor here. You're obviously wrong, and that's totally fine.
Yeah, yeah, I'm fine.
I'm good with that.
That's okay. It's okay to be wrong. But yeah, I know you're pro pants.
I've always been pro pants. You know, it's funny. We were watching on a private golf course. My perspective is the shirt should get tucked in. I'm not saying you have to wear pants as an amateur golfer, but it's all presentation for me. And when I watch tour golf, my thought is presentation. And frankly, I think it makes a lot of sense. And
sure,
you know, I know that's a personal thing, and I would never encourage someone to think my way just because that's how I feel. I'm totally cool with the idea that people want them in shorts or think they should wear shorts. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I'd be more upset for the untucked shirt thing than the pant thing. And I only said because I've seen it a couple of times recently in places I don't think I should have seen it. I'm like, wow, that bothers me a lot more than shorts.
Yeah, I don't think, well, so what I'll say about that is I don't think you're going to see untucked shirts on the PGA Tour.
Joachim Niemann, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right. But okay, so maybe what I'll say is I don't think you'll see that become like a widespread thing, because I do think that there's a lot of purists in the game, whether it's shorts or not. When you see those guys playing practice rounds in shorts, right, you don't see them, you know, with untucked shirts. So I think there's certainly a line. I don't know where that line is, and I'm glad I'm not the one who has to make that decision. But I totally agree with you for what it's worth on presentation just in general. I'm not sure that shorts sort of take away from that presentation to me all that much, but agreed on the untucked shirt. I think when you're playing somewhere super nice, that has that sort of mystique about it, if you will, that just respect it. And to me, you know, having your shirt tucked in isn't a big thing to ask.
I agree. I love it. In your location right now in KC, where's the place to play golf? What is the spot? Someone comes into town, you either give them one that's a budget course, yeah, and one that you can't miss if you get the invite.
Yeah. So if we're talking private, can't miss private golf course, there's a few. I'd probably lean on, there's a course called Mission Hills Country Club. It's actually really close to where I live. Super old school country club. I haven't unfortunately been able to play it, but it's a traditional, true old school, not super long, but very tight, very tree lined, just traditional country club that's been around for a long time. I think Tom Watson's a member there. He's a KC guy, and some other people that just sort of has that mystique about it. I'd love to get on there one day, hoping that I can expand my connections to get me there at some point. And then as far as like more budget friendly, the course I play every weekend, is called Stone Canyon. It's a Greg Norman design, allegedly. His name's on it, at least. But it's a super interesting course for the area. It's more of a link style course. It's got that sort of like red clay, almost like desert vibe to it in the bunkers. It's got a lot of tall grass, like native grass, and not a lot of trees. It's just different than anything else in the area, which is why I've been so drawn to it. And the conditions are incredible. So that's where I play 95% of my rounds, and where I would probably be at the top of my like public course recommendations that I'd give somebody. You could get on for like 50, $60 on the weekend. So not too bad.
So you're saying if I ever show up in your town, that's where we're playing.
That's where we're playing, man. I got the home course advantage, you know. Maybe I'll knock one or two pops off for home course advantage.
Are you a proponent of cheese only on pizza, or can there be other things?
You're not going to like this answer either, I don't think. There can be other things, and there should be. I'm not anti-cheese only. I will eat cheese pizza if you put it in front of me, but I do think that there should be some sort of meat topping that accompanies the cheese.
You're a protein guy. Expect nothing
more.
Yeah,
no, absolutely.
Don't act like there's one answer. I think there's one answer for me when I want to go and experience a new place, but if I'm going back, I'll try. That's
okay.
All good.
Okay. What about vegetables? Will you do vegetables on pizza?
It sounds kind of unnecessary.
Agreed. Okay. Yeah, no, I'm no vegetable, no pineapple, just meat and cheese.
Definitely not pineapple.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. I'm glad we're on the same page there, at least. Yes, vegetables are unnecessary on pizza for sure.
A little broccoli, some...
No, that's for a salad, and you can put that on the side.
Taylor, it's been a blast having you on today, buddy. I'm glad you're back in golf. It makes me super happy. We need to commit to a round next year. No questions asked. What do you think?
No questions asked, man. We haven't teed it up before. We've met, we've hung out, but we've never played golf together. So yeah, we need to make it happen. And I appreciate you having me on, dude. It's been a blast. I love to talk golf. Hopefully people will, reach out and continue the conversation with us, but, let us know your opinions on anything we talked about. If you have a big hot sports opinions on vegetables on pizza, let me know. And like Dan said, I'll tell you why you're wrong. But
yeah. Do you have any questions for me, buddy?
Yeah, man. I guess I'd ask you, I kind of turned your question back to you. What has it been like for you this year in particular, since it's a hot topic, reliving some experiences of the granddaddy as the, first of all, somebody who has participated and been the part of the only team that's won it. What has it been like for you to get back in the forum, see these guys? I know, some of them, you've met some of them been to your house. Does that add anything to it for you? I assume it does. And then, just give me a little.
Yeah, I will say that having them in the house and, around locally here, it makes a huge difference. And not to mention that they've been active on the forum too. They've been a big part of the community. And, I can't overlook that. You get to see the camaraderie build, and, it's simple when you say, I know all these guys from Callaway. I've been fortunate enough to meet many of them, and you befriend them and obviously want to root them on, but then you have your team THP, right? You always got to root for the local guys, and there's just no way around it. So yeah, I mean, having those guys in town, experiencing them individually, having, especially a couple of them locally here. Yeah, I'm pretty invested on them winning. I definitely don't think that there needs to be one team THP who's ever won and will ever win. I don't want that at all. I want THP domination for the next decade. Let's see this continue for a decade, and we win every year.
Agreed. 100%, man. I couldn't agree more. I think the participation is huge. If you go look at some of the top guys this quarter, a lot of them are granddaddy guys, which is awesome. Because it makes you feel like you're a part of the journey. I haven't actually been fortunate enough to meet any of them. Hopefully that changes in the future, but I almost feel like I'm a part of the team just because of how much they've shared and how much they've made us a part of the journey. So it's been really cool.
Yeah, man. Anything else for me? Are we wrapping this up?
I think we're wrapping it, man. I really appreciate it. Hopefully people enjoy it. And hopefully by the time this comes out, we're celebrating a team THP victory.
Yeah, I agree. It's always a pleasure, my friend. If you guys are golfing this weekend, have a blast. It's going to be warm next week here. So by the time you hear from me again, I might have played a couple rounds, which is unbelievable. I'm so excited. I've got a ShotScope V3 with performance tracking here. I'm both terrified and excited to get it going. So we'll have to give that a rip. I've got my Bag Boy hand warmer that I'll be trying out for the first time on course, which I'm pretty excited about, even though it's gonna be warm. But yeah, like I said, have a great time. If you are playing this weekend, know that a lot of us can't. And I'll see you guys next week.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.